Thank you, Otis.
Hey, we'd like to welcome everybody to the June 28, 2020 meeting of the PNB Program Committee. My name is Jim Binger. I'm the advocate for the committee. I'd like to welcome everybody to the committee.
We're going and in and first, out. I can't hear you.
All right. How's that?
Slower.
All right.
And loudly.
All right. Can you hear me better? How's that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to call the roll call, so everybody sort of mute and just answer if you're here or not. And just for the purposes of the folks on the committee, this will be the first formal calling of the roll, so that going forward, you know, three strikes, you're out, so to speak. And those who aren't here today will make sure that you are contacted so you get back onto the call the next time. So I'm going to start at the top. Shira Dedman from KPFA, are you here? Shira? You're not there. Okay. Jack Devine from WBAI, are you there? Jack? All right, Jack's not there. Okay, so that's a formal absence for Shira, a formal absence for Jack. Janine Etter, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Janine? Okay, Janine is here. Heather Gray from WRFG, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Very good. Okay. Sabrina Jacobs, are you there from KPFA? Sabrina? Okay. That will be a formal absence for her. Let's see. Wally James, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and Molly James from KPFT. Michelle Manos from KPFK, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Ron Pinchback from WPFW, are you there? Back from WPFW? Okay, that's the formal absence. Nancy Sabara Narotomi, you're there?
Present.
Very good. Sharon Salam, are you there from WBAI?
Yes.
Sharon's here. Okay, fine. Craig Williams from PFW, are you there? Craig Williams? Craig Williams is not there. That's a formal absence. Nancy Sorden from WPFW, are you there?
Hello, this is Ralph is that- Hello.
All right, but I got you, Ralph. Okay. Are you, Nancy Sorden from WPFW, are you there? All right, so that's a formal absence for Nancy Sorden. Oscar Oyoya, are you there?
Here.
All right, Polina Vasilev, are you there? Polina? From KPFK? All right. Oscar, you try to get her on the phone if you can, because just calling in will get us to quorum. All right. Anyway, I'm going to mark her formally absent until it's changed. Sandy Wyman from KPFT, you're there, right?
Yeah, Wally James made me do it.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll blame Wally. All right, so we got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, boy, we got quorum, so let's get going. All right, so I'm the chair of the programming committee. We are going to now ask for people to step up and take offices of chair, at least for an interim period, so we can formally pass the baton. So I wanted, I'll just say the most onerous job is the secretary, but somebody has to record what's going on all the time. So will someone volunteer to be the interim secretary for this meeting, and then going forward you guys can work it out? Hello? Would someone volunteer to do that job? Just take it on for this meeting, interim secretary, then you guys can work it out. You need to record the motions, and you don't have to record the verbatim if you don't want to, but that's all you need to do, the motions that are put in the agenda. Does someone want to volunteer to do that?
Well,
I know it's a pain in the ass, okay? Trust me, I do know. But someone has to at least start to do it. But can somebody step forward to take that responsibility today? I'm overwhelmed by the deafening response. All right, well, somebody has to do it. Somebody has to take the motions. Now, who wants to step forward to volunteer or be an interim chair, vice chair? Vice chair and chair. Does someone want to step up and be the vice chair? The chair basically sets the agenda, receives the input from everybody, mails out the agenda ahead of time, schedules the meetings with the vice chair. The secretary records all that. You guys can delineate what kind of responsibilities you want in going forward, but someone has to be the interim chair, the vice chair, and the secretary. Want to do that today, or you want to sort of wait a bit and get everybody to know each other better, then do it at another meeting?
Yes, that would be my preference.
All right, why don't we do that then? Okay, fine. Now, I understand that some motions were sent by Nancy that you want to have discussed. And did anybody else have any motions? And by the way, I'll be sending you all the motions that are currently in play, because we spent 3 years, we spent a lot of debates. I'm going to send to everybody the motions that we already have in play that were passed by this committee previously and have gone up to the board or haven't gone up to the board. That'll give you an idea of what we've been doing for the past couple of years. And I'll also start sending you guys the Nielsen data that we have that I can share with you. And just to give you a heads up about the Nielsen data, the only thing about working with the Radio Research Corporation is that the data sort of has to be kept confidential because they get pissed off if we sort of spill the beans, so to speak, expose it to the public, because that we actually have to sign in the contract with RRC that kind of information. But, of course, the implications of the data, I think, should be well known to everybody. So I'll start sending that stuff to you guys, that stuff that I have, so you can see what's happening. But, Nancy, why don't you introduce... and someone has to record this. I'm not going to do it. Someone has to record what Nancy is now going to propose in terms of motions. So, Nancy, why don't you start it off by talking about the things you want to discuss today?
Oh, I sent to everybody around 8 agenda items. And I would like to give around 20 minutes with each one for discussion, or maybe 15 minutes. And then we don't have to vote on them. These are not, this is the first time we've met, and I'd like to get people's input. Is that okay? Is anybody like any of those agenda items? They want to start, like, instead of number one, start with a number different one?
Can you just say what date that you sent that out so I can try to look it up?
I sent about 10 minutes before the hour the second time, and the first time... Let's see when
So you said you sent it today, 10 minutes before
yes.
the hour?
Yeah, about 2 minutes before
under
the hour. It says PMB programming agenda items. And then I sent before, let's see, when did I send before? On June 28th, I sent.
Okay.
And I sent about 2 months ago two of them, but that's all, right. all of them.
All right. May I suggest you do this, Nancy, if you can, just resend them out to everybody. And then
okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask people just to introduce themselves to everybody else, what their background is about all this issue, what they want to see happen here, et cetera, and what they want to, what their vision of what they want to accomplish. So let me start off with Jeanine Etter from KPFA. I hate to put you on the spot. I lived in the Bay Area for a long time. But Jeanine, I just want you to share with us, what you see. And please say hello to Shira for me. I miss her deeply. We always have a lot of fun. Did she come back from Arkansas, by the way? Jeanine?
I don't know. That's
okay,
I don't know.
All right. Well, give her a kiss for me when you see her. Okay. So Jeanine Etter from KPFA. Introduce yourself to all of us.
Okay. I am a programmer at KPFA. I host and produce two shows, a morning show on Upfront on Friday mornings and a music show, Chocolate Octave, once a month. I'm on the local station board at KPFA. I wear a lot of hats at the station, but those are the basics. And the question was, what do I want to get out of this? Or what were the questions again?
Well, what do you see us accomplishing with all this? I mean, I'd actually ask all of you, because usually the programming committee is like relegated to a backstop position. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the content is that's the product we're selling, whether we like it or not. What goes on the air is the most important thing. That's my opinion. But I just want to ask you what you think, Janine.
That's a great question. I actually don't know. I will tell you this. The reason why I got on the when we voted my first meeting in December, when we voted for people to be on the programming committee, I wanted to have some say-so in the network national programming. And I didn't know what that would look like, but I wanted to see some type of cohesion, some type of collective vision, something along those lines. In addition to my hosting it and producing, I've executive produced like day-longs at the station, many of the programs that we've had, like for Black History Month and for International Women's Day. And yeah, there's a lot that I'd like to see happen. Until I get more information about what we do as a body, that's generally why I wanted to be on the committee and what I have so far.
All right, thank you very much, Janine. Heather Gray, why don't you share your interest in all that?
Okay, so, yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can everybody hear Heather? Can everybody hear Heather?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so I'm with WRFG Radio Free Georgia, actually in Atlanta, Georgia. And so just so everybody knows, I keep mentioning this to Pacifica folks, that WRFG was founded thanks to WBAI, where the founder of the station was in New York in the 60s and heard BAI. He said, we need to have something like that in Atlanta. So he came back and created the station. We went on the air in 1972. So I used to be the chair of the board on WRFG. I'm still serving on the board. I'm also on the board of Pacifica as an affiliate director. I have a program called Just Peace. Basically, there can't be peace in the world without justice. So my background has been in civil rights. I used to work for Coretta King in the 1980s. I directed the nonviolent program for her. And then ultimately, my work was with Black farmers across the South. Anyway, the point is, I've been involved in civil and human rights and continue to do this work, and a lot of the programs I have are focused on those issues. So that's enough about me. But I'm also really interested in the programming committee because I didn't really understand what the mission of the program committee was, although it certainly makes sense that it would have something to do with the programs that the Pacific stations are engaged in, but I'm appreciative of the committee coming together. So thank you.
All right, thank you, Heather. And I'll just editorialize. I wish we had about five or six other people from the affiliates with us. I personally think that's a good thing. Anyway, Wally James, tell us, man, what you're all about.
I'm a public affairs programmer on KPFT. I co-host the Progressive Forum with Lily and Care, and she mainly focuses on women's issues, but we both focus on a variety of public affairs, human rights, justice issues. I've been at KPFT for 31 years, and I'm on the LSB and on the PNB. That's enough for now.
All right, thank you, Wally. And Michelle Monos from KPFK.
Hi, thank you. I'm excited that this committee is getting our stuff together. I'm currently the chair of the board at KPFK, and I'm a listener delegate, and I've been involved with our local station Los Angeles on and off in different ways for about 10 years, starting as a volunteer with one of our programmers way back when. And I really appreciated what the previous speaker was saying about, you know, having a justice focus. And, you know, that's the avenue to peace, and I agree with that. I'm in favor of robust news departments, robust music and cultural aspects of programming, and I'm in favor of moving away from, you know, the infomercial-style programming that's overtaken some of our stations, including KPFK here in Los Angeles. That's all for now.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Nancy Sabariner, tell me.
I've been a volunteer for KPFT Houston since around 2009 in the summer when I discovered it. And I lived before that 27 years in Japan, and I never knew about Pacifica. But I did read about Amy Goodman in the newspaper. I love committees. I do all the committees that I possibly can. I never was in the building and maintenance committee because I knew my mother would try to eat the donuts that the general manager would always bring. But all the other committees, we have working committees, development, outreach, finance, management selection review, governance, and our LSB, now, a committee of inclusion and a CAB. I like committees. I believe that this committee is real, real important. And, that's our product. We gotta be more creative. We gotta get youth into the air. And, otherwise we're gonna die. And we gotta tell people that we exist. So I sometimes walk, with my bus, I take the bus and I walk with a poster. So when the red light is on the cars that have to stop, they can see Democracy Now! At 7 a.m., 90.1 FM, and then they can see HR 1384, Medicare for Everybody, from the sperm to the worm. Anyway, I like that kind of activist thing. Now, we're going to have to change that, but be more voice for the people and do relevant things. And so I'm very excited. Thank you. That's it.
Okay, thank you. And Sharon Salam, please join us in... us about yourself.
Well, I'm on WBAI. I'm on the board, and I'm on this committee. And I'm very interested in seeing how this committee works and what kind of impact can be made on programming in general throughout the station and particularly with WBAI. Very much interested in bringing community-based programming back to the station as part of a reality so that more people will start tuning in to what it is we have to say and be a part of that kind of conversation so that we can rebuild our base moving forward. I've done a lot of things in the community. I'm on a lot of committees and boards in the community. I'm also the mother of Youssef Salam from the Central Park Five, and I'm doing a lot of running around. That's one of the reasons why I had asked if there was a possibility that we could change the day off out of Sunday to some different day. But with that still all in the works, because it's, you know, it's very difficult. But in any event, we'll see how it goes, and I guess we'll learn more as we start working with the committee.
All right, thank you so much, Sharon. Oscar, please tell us about you, man.
Hi. Pretty much what I'd like to say is that definitely is just hearing your stories, yeah, it looks like pretty much I am the last apt to be in this committee because I have a really, really... not too much experience on governing or being on committees, but I've been a programmer in KPFK here in Los Angeles on the Spanish, pretty much on the Spanish language broadcasting. My main point is always being, you know, working with the community, pretty much just as I mentioned before. this morning, I had the honor to participate on a really interesting food bank here in South Los Angeles, and pretty much that's where I started getting involved to KPFK, and because of that, I know that, of course, the KPFK, but also Pacifica has a big, big disconnection with the community. You know, pretty much looks like a lot of people just go around as talking heads and voicing opinions. But, you know, my main focus is on definitely bring the community issues, the important issues for working class people, for in general. So that's the reason I grew up really, really frustrated for the last two or three years. On the last days, program director before Alan Minsky, I had pretty much a shout out with him, and this pretty much put me on the spot to be, you know, a little bit more vocal on what we do, and I coincide completely with most of you who say our product is the most important thing we have, so we need to have a better product to offer and to call people in to become members and to participate. And I'm looking forward to just kind of share my experience and put a couple of ideas out there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Oscar. And deep down in the heart of Texas there, Sandy Weinman. Tell us about yourself, Sandy.
Thank you, and thank you for asking the question and allowing this. This is very good. I'm a 23-year veteran programmer at KPFT. Started out doing a full-on Great the Dead show and Dead at Night on Friday, 11 to 1 a.m. And 12 years ago, got moved to Saturday afternoon. I do a three-hour music show. It's really a wide diaspora of musics, but it always comes back to the dead. Enough about that. I was on the original board the first 6 years of its creation, our current board system, and stepped away and took a long break. I re-engaged this last December because we're in trouble. And you are correct in saying the only thing that matters, the only product that we make, is the programming. And I'd like to see this committee take an initiative that's much more higher-arching than maybe has been thought before. And look at where we're doing well with our programming, in other words, getting the funds that we need to literally save the foundation at this point. Through programming, each station has some stellar programming, and if we combine that into a national schedule, and I know as a programmer, I'm thinking other programmers are going to tell you, but I got a best show. My show is the second best show. Everything else is tied for first. I digress. We can use our own resources to save our own rear ends if we put our heads together and do it right. So thank you. I'm concerned about Pacifica. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, thank you, Sandy. And Ralph Pointer. Ralph, are you in a point where you can hear us?
Ralph? Yes, I can hear you. And much of what I wanted to say has been said, and I'll be very brief. I recognize the importance of public radio as an activist, and we're going to run into more difficulty in the near future because there are those who do not want to see public radio exist, but because of that, that gives us opportunity because people will need to hear the progressive voices, and when the need is out there, we must exploit the need by having better programming. This is very important. I'm going to be right on it. And so I'm afraid I may run out, so I'll let it go with that. Continue. I like what I've heard so far. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. And we have actually two other people on the phone call besides the nine who have spoken, and that's besides me and Otis. So are there any other people in this list who haven't come forward to talk? Shira Deadman, Jack Devine, anybody else? Who I've not called on, who haven't recognized themselves? Anybody? All right, I just note that there are 11 people on the call besides me, and that's whatever, whoever decided to bring them on, say, like, here. Okay, so let's move into the agenda items. Now, Nancy, why don't you read them out one at a time, okay? And then read the whole thing out, and then does anybody else have anything they want to talk about in terms of agenda items?
Yeah, this is Oscar.
Okay, Oscar. Okay, someone has to record this, please. Somebody, one of you guys has to write this stuff down, or at least, you know, centralize it for now. Someone has to be sort of ad hoc secretary. Can someone volunteer for that, or am I going to get the deafening silence again?
Okay, Nancy will be secretary just this time, because I've done so many times before. I want other
right.
people to pay the taxes.
Right, right, and I agree with that. The way the gender stuff works on this always, I actually was a secretary for a year, so I know how much work it is. All right, anyway, so thank you very much, Nancy. Oscar, why don't you share your motion, throw it in to us verbally, and then we'll let Nancy proceed with hers, and then anybody else who has stuff to talk. So, Oscar, what were you going to say? What was the motion you want to make?
The motion will be to find a way to put forward a plan, to discuss the merits. But the idea in general is, since we are seeing, you know, especially in the latest days, the disconnect the most of the station might have with the community issues, again, under whichever title works, for me is Pacifica on the streets, or, you know, the station, if that's the case, and in both in Spanish and English, whatever it works. And the idea will be, in general, to push the program directors to offer between 2 minutes or 3 minutes a voluntary, for the same way that we do a station business, to make part of that station's business, let's say, develop whatever time makes sense, but let's say 3 minutes or 2 minutes on each program, on each spot, for the chance, if it's needed, okay, especially just pretty much just going back to breaking to think that once this thing is implemented, there's a lot of ideas behind that, and it's pretty much to deputize everybody who is either a programmer, a volunteer, whoever person has wants actually, even public, the idea of contribute with breaking news, with something important to say, to kind of make open the mechanisms in order to do that. It's like somebody who has experience on the air as a producer or as whoever, just to kind of have the pretty much the idea that we need to get out in the street. You saw, you know, all the opportunities that we can do on the social media, where pretty much somebody who's affiliated with whatever Pacifica station is, it could be an excellent tool, an excellent people just to say, hey, we have this out on the street, and this needs to be, just needs to be heard, needs to be reported, and it can be, you know, developed in different ways. Again, I'm just kind of going around this thing, but I think it's really, really important that we create a mechanism to allow for local news, for breaking news, for local reporting to be on the air. That will be in general idea.
All right, that's very important. I'll put that back in the sense you're talking about having every hour on the hour a 2-minute sort of eclectic community-based breaking news kind of header going into the show. Is that what you're talking about in a way?
Yes, that will be one of the options.
All right.
And
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah.
All right. So we'll put that. We'll get to that. Does everybody agree? Someone has to take time. Usually we spent, we were doing like 2 minutes per person when they start talking. We'll be flexible about that. You know, it wasn't like, boom, you got to stop. If obviously people want to complete their thoughts, and we were always trying to be flexible about that. But does everybody agree about 15 minutes per motion? Is that cool? We start? All right, I'll assume that everybody agrees. All right, so Nancy, start reading off what you got.
Okay, I'll just do one. Youth,
all right.
It's called Youth Immersion, to get the youth into our programming. And I'm reading from an email that I did send everybody 2 minutes before the top of the hour, and I just sent again around maybe 5 minutes ago. Get these youth into the station, or on the air, rather, on the air, I'm sorry. 1A, to give a station ID. 2, to teach the listeners why, or to say why Pacifica is unique, listener-sponsored, educational, and entertaining, what we are, and please donate at such-and-such or such-and-such at text or .org. And then 1C, provide translation into Spanish of the key points. These youth that speak Spanish, they could be helping to translate. And I don't mean literally. I mean just briefly the key points and the key words. And then next, 1D, give a five-minute segment. Give them a five-minute segment when we've advanced a certain amount of time. For example, on KPFT, we have a doctor's show, a call-in doctor show on Friday night. It's a gynecologist, and she has a young, sounds like an elementary school student, but very, this little girl is very confident, and she does a COVID-19 worldwide update for 5 minutes, and then she adds her own little, if you have to scratch your nose or scratch your face, use a clean towel and press the towel on your face and scratch it. I mean, she gives her own little ideas, but very nice, and then she's allowed to say something to her grandmother, and she tells her grandmother something. I don't know what she's saying because she's speaking in Greek, which is really good. Brings that diversity. Okay, I just put that point in. Anyway, move over. These old people, move over a little and let the kids on. That's what I'm trying to say. And maybe on the music break, let some kid that wants to sing with his guitar or whatever, of course, audition with the programmer, have them do a song. And then a report from each show's host about the youth immersion, how it's going along, to the GM, the PD, the LSB, and the PMB programming. We want some feedback. Okay, that's my first one.
All right, so let's talk about that. let's go one by one. Let's go one by one. I'm going to start timing it. We're going to put 15 minutes to it. I'm going to take stack, and everybody wants to talk about this, join in. So who wants the first comment about this idea? Who wants to comment? Anybody?
Well, I'll say something.
Go on, Shalom. All right, Shalom, start, and then... Is that Shalom?
Yeah, start? Okay, yes, it's me.
Yeah, go on.
Well, the youth immersion, I don't know... But it might work, and some of it could work in various stations, bringing youth on. But some of these stations have youth that are on already doing youth programming. But also, when you're talking about youth immersion, you almost also need some sort of a training for the youth, depending on how many of them you're going to immerse in this programming that's going to be taking place. So that might be an avenue to get some youth in, to bring them in as, let's say, interns in the various programs, but I would imagine these would be older type youth, depending on what age you're talking about these youth being, and what would be the youth availability, because, most of these young people, they're going to be going to school and college, and how would they be available? But when we're talking about this emergence also, it made me think of the possibility of reaching out to colleges and universities that offer programs that deal with the media, television, and those types of things, to see if they might be interested in coming in with some of their people to be part of this piece, what you're calling immersion, for some sort of credit.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Sharon. Does someone else want to comment on this?
This is Michelle.
Michelle, go on, please.
Thank you. One of the things that I've been working on, and, you know, first I want to apologize for not raising my hand to volunteer. I'm trying to be super intentional about not taking on more right now. And so I'm a community organizer in many different arenas. And so, you know, I care very much about independent media and, you know, corporate-free spaces for our communities. And one of the things that I'm working on with our, you know, with our board is the ways in which we can modernize to reach out to the youth, quote-unquote. I mean, I'm 35, whatever that means to people. You know, I see myself, you know, as a millennial, like, approaching, thinking about what I'm going to do about my future, and also, like, watching the youth come up after us and really grab hold of things like the environment and racial justice and, you know, America's imperialism. And they're not taking any shit anymore. They see what happened to us millennials, and they don't accept it. And so I think that putting ourselves in the spaces where they are and they can find us is really important. Utilizing social media is really, really important. I've been trying to, you know, I got tabled for various reasons when I first brought it up, but I would like for our local board to have a digital development committee, not one where, you know, the board has control over the content on social media. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, strategies that can be discussed with the station and with the programmers that can be implemented to increase our digital presence. I think we all know that Pacifica and stations in many ways operate like dinosaurs in this arena. And when we put ourselves in front of the audiences that we are courting, rather than sort of in a piecemeal way trying to come up with little things here and there that might cause them to approach us, you know, I have a background in marketing as well, and it's trying to get people to take action is like pulling teeth, right? Forget about donating. Just getting them a quick like or a comment is a lot. So we have to take initiative to be in the spaces where the audiences that we're courting already exist, and take it upon ourselves to understand the type of content that those platforms require. And when we do that, we encourage, you know, just as proxy, donations, volunteering. They want to know how they can get involved. And in this sort of post-Bernie Sanders moment, you have a lot of young progressives looking for places to feel welcome. And if Pacifica could find a way to blow the doors open on that, we would probably find ourselves with an influx of young support by, you know, just naturally. That's my comment.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Does anybody else want to talk about this point? Anybody? Hello? Who's coming on? Is that you, Ralph? All right. I hear police sirens. Who's that?
That's not you. That's someone else.
Ralph.
I said,
all right.
That's someone else.
All right. I guess I want to blame you on everything on you, Ralph. Do you want to comment on this, Ralph? Okay. Does anybody else want to comment on this point about the youth and all that?
This is Heather.
Heather, please.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be brief. The previous folks were just wonderful when they were making their expression about all this. I just think it's so important for us to explore ways to bring the youth in all together. And I appreciate the ideas of diverse ways to do that. It's wonderful. So, in fact, if there is ever a time to do this, it's now. It's got to be now. So that's all I wanted to say. But I appreciate this being brought up. And I know that as the
right.
committee continues, more ideas of ways to do this will be developed as well. But So thank you. Thanks for that.
All right. And I just want to say, as the outgoing chair, it'll be important to share the work we did, because everybody has more or less said what we have been saying for several years. I know that when I've gone down to these events, these demonstrations in the past couple of weeks, overwhelmingly, the Generation Z people do not know anything about Pacifica. And frankly, I would love to turn the whole operation over to them. But that is impossible to do, because they have their own ways of expressing themselves through social media, and they don't need us. That's one thing we have to get in our brains. They don't need us. We need them. Anyway, so let's. Does anybody else want to say something to this point before we move to the next point that Nancy has? Yeah.
I just want to add that, Jim, I'd like to add to what you just said. That means making ourselves relevant. This is Michelle adding to my comment a minute ago.
All right. Does anybody else want to say anything about this before we go to the next point? All right. So, Nancy, read the next motion you have.
Okay. Pacifica special programming. The GMs and PDs will be asked to give an explanation as to why the May Day 12 hours online Pacifica special programming was not promoted before or put on the air or even promoted to be an online presence on the station's website. And then after their responses and their and then ask them to give their actions of how they will remediate this, because we've had already two different special Pacifica national programming, but not all the stations were carrying it. The town hall, the Pacifica town hall, was carried only by two stations, WBAI and KPFT. And KPFT did not carry the public comment, only WBAI did. And that was, you know, for all five stations, but not all five stations did it. And then the May Day, it was not carried on any station. It was just online one time, and we need to have that. I'm not really clear with Paulina that where to find that, because when I look, I looked at all the things, but I didn't hear about the Sam Hussein that Steve Zeltzer from KPFA interviewed. I did not find that video. So anyway, this is kind of fantastic, remarkable programming, and this has got to be stopped, that conflict with the general managers and program directors who do not see it, don't take these things seriously. What is their reason that needs to be told or reported to the PNB? So this is sort of a naughty, naughty you. What's your explanation? And your explanation is going to go in your evaluation in your file, you know, to stop this kind of stupid thing. Or they can continue doing it if they want. This is sort of, you know, now we have COVID, race, and democracy at all five stations one day of the week. So this needs to be promoted on the website and on the air, and it's not happening to my liking. I mean, it should be much more.
All right, so what do people have to say about that, the whole question of must carries and mandatory national shows? What do people have to say about that? Who wants to speak first?
I did not say must carry, but they got to give a reason why not.
Well, all right. Well, now I'm going to interject. I've been involved with these issues, debating these issues for 30-plus years. And usually a general manager or a PD can essentially ignore any kind of suggestion, a suggestion for a national show. They'll ignore it if they don't want it. And even must carries will be ignored if they don't want it. And I've seen that happen in New York several times. So the question of everybody getting together as a network and sort of agreeing on what are the assumptions and aesthetics of a national strategy or national programming, to me, is even a wider issue. Because look at what we've just been going through, this incredible internecine civil war, which has wasted our energies. And so I think it's a very important point you raise, but I know how these guys act and gals, and, you know, they can be very, very parochial. And that, I think, is one of the problems that has to be ultimately addressed.
Well, there's no penalty. There's no penalty. There needs to be a penalty.
Right.
Like it gets their reasoning has to be put, you know, to the at least to the PMB. Why'd you do it? You know, why you didn't do it? And then put into their files so they can do whatever they want to do from now on. But they have to know there's going to be, you know, answer, something to answer for.
Consequence, right.
Yes, thank you.
All right, well, all right, so do people want to talk about this? Anybody want to add to this this issue? Anybody? All right, if nobody wants to talk about this, I'll move on to the next motion. Yeah, someone
okay.
Want to say something? Nobody wants to... Yeah, anybody? What the hell's that? All right, anyway. All right, why don't you mention your next motion then, Nancy? Nobody wants
okay.
to talk to this, so we can...
Okay. I understand that everybody's afraid a little bit and don't surprise maybe, but maybe later on you might get something, you know, just put it in your back burner. You might think of something later on. Okay. Number three is anonymous testimonies for reform. And these are specials. And this is not going to take over anybody's show, but be used as a substitute, like when somebody's sick or going out of town or something. And what it'll be is it'll be promoted with a PSA and an email blast to the members and to nonprofits, groups, and for community awareness, asking for anonymous testimonies snail mailed to the station. And examples encouraged are, you know, these stories that people have, like nuclear reactor workers, police, doctors, lawyer associations, nurses, teachers, veterans, unions, ambulance workers, students, immigrants, and then spread by quarter flyers on the cars that your station is going to air this story. And then use software to disguise the voice who is reading the testimony on the air. We don't want anybody getting revenge later on. And then no announcement of the show whatsoever. It just suddenly appears as a substitute. And then they read the testimony and then have a discussion maybe with experts. And then open up the 30 minutes, the half hour with the telephone lines. Let people call in and swap stories with other stations. Because these problems are all over the place. But let's swap it, and that gives more anonymity to it as well. That's all.
All right. Any comments about that? A whistleblower show, basically.
Well, people don't like the word whistleblowers, so I said anonymous testimonies for reform.
Okay.
But I don't know what the station can decide what to call it, but it's not a regular program. And the reason why I say that because when we had for example, we had a Spanish language show in 30 minutes, and then the next 30 minutes was the same show but in English. And they were, this is 1980s, okay, and they were reporting about the civil wars in Central America. And when they come out, there's red paint all over their cars, kill, 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 you know, it was written. And then somebody stabbed part of the canvas of one of their cars, and they got death threats at the station. Now that we're doing remote broadcasting, that may be solved, that problem, you know, people come to the station. But I want to put a little bit of secrecy about when the show comes on. And then, don't force any programmer to be the moderator, just the ones who want to, or maybe have their voice disguised by software. I talk too much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any comments on this idea? Anybody want to add to this idea? Anybody? All right, I guess everybody's sort of thinking about that. Let's move to the next motion then, Nancy.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. This is Oscar. I was having a lot of troubles unmuting myself, and I definitely wanted
Please, Oscar.
Yes. Something like that, we had an experience on the Spanish programming in a show about 4 years ago that then turned into something really, really interesting. Where in the end we find out that there was a kind of a child molester between all the people, all the traditional dancers. So definitely I'm for that kind of call where all the stolen when the, you know, people feel empowered to try to speak, because this came out from, you know, almost like an avalanche. We started with one call, and in the end, looks like these people might have abused around 11 young girls under his care for years, and it was just because we were there to open up the microphones, and somebody felt trusting enough to one of our shows to kind of come up with all the things. So definitely, I am up for all for that.
All right. Any other comments on this idea? Anybody else?
Sharon Salam here.
Go on, Sharon.
Okay. Well, my thinking on this anonymous testimony in the snail mail is, how do you validate whatever it is they're sending you in this snail mail before you go on the air with it? You know, because a person could send you anything, saying anything. How do you know?
Good point.
Well, that would be up to the station and the programmer and, whether to take it or not. Because some of these may be retaliatory complaints that really they just want to attack their former employee. So that's up to the judgment of the station, the program director, the manager, the programmer that's going to do it. So that's mm-hmm. one. And then they're going to ask experts to weigh in on whatever the problem is. So that's either way. if it turns out to be, not real problem, then I think that should be either explained on the air if it turns out later, or not even put on the air. But we have to be a place, people, we have to be the go-to place. Pacifica has to be the one that they can't go anywhere else, but they can go to Pacifica for help.
No, I understand that. I understand that. When I went to Pacifica years ago, I didn't go anonymous. That's why, when you're saying all these people are coming anonymous people can do and say anything. Some of it is correct and some of it is not. But once you add the anonymous information, it's hard to pull that back. Even with a statement that says, we're sorry, our information was not correct. It's still out there somewhere. So you have to be very careful with something like that. And you almost need to bring on additional staff people to investigate whatever it is these people are trying to say of the tips that you get. So let's say you get 100 pieces of mail. You got to have people there reading through the mail, listening to the stories or whatever you however they come, then determining, saying, well, let's try this one, let's try that one, let's try the other one. This one sounds good. So then you got to go have someone do I would imagine a phase check to make sure that these people are even real. They're sending in this information. I'm not saying that they're not real. I'm just saying because the station has a certain responsibility to the station to send out information that is valid. And the only way you know that is you do your checks and balances within this particular piece here. You don't want to be set up for something that's not necessary.
Any other comments on this issue? Anybody else on this? All right. I have to agree with Sharon. This is a tough issue because all we have to look and see all the time, we have these problems of fact checks of people saying things all the time. And, it's an interesting idea, Nancy. Absolutely interesting idea. All right. Let's move to the next motion if nobody else has any other comments or questions. Nancy, what's the next motion?
Okay. All right, let's see. That was number two. What's number three? Three. Already did that. Okay. Okay, I have number four. The two-hour LSB town hall meeting should be on the air and promoted on the air 1.5 weeks prior. And preferably on a Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Central time, and 4 p.m. Eastern time, and post it on kpftx.org when an LSB does a town hall meeting. Equal time for callers. So if it's a two-hour, the first hour would be reporting, and the second hour would be for call-ins. Or if it's a one-hour report from the LSB to the listeners, it'd be 30 minutes for reporting and 30 minutes for call-ins. And it should be promoted. That is for stations who have. And I believe WBAI did theirs Friday night. And on the Friday night, it was a two-hour LSB report to the people. I wish it had been on the KPFDX.org calendar. Then I would have gotten a reminder to know that it was happening, because it was interesting. Some of it was some mistakes were reported. But anyway, in all, it's a good time for people to call in and connect with their leaders, their elected people. This is not going on at all the stations.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. I'm going to jump in on this one. As being somebody who was in on the arguments in the early 90s to even create an elected system, because I'm the only person on this phone call who was actually on the old system, the local advisory board system, which was when I was elected by the staff to be the public affairs representative on the local advisory board in 1992. So I'm 100% in favor of these kind of measures. In fact, I want to see less LSB members talking and more listeners talking, and less PNB members talking and pontificating and more listener members talking, because usually when you hear these things, they basically, let's hear the listeners the last 20 minutes of the phone call. And I want to hear what the listeners have to say in general. So I'm 100% in favor of this kind of stuff. But go on. Somebody else might want to talk about this. Anybody else?
But my question is, on here it says town hall. So is the
I mixed up. I'm sorry. What I said was number six. I skipped the LSB town hall. That's number four.
All right, so you're talking about a report to the listener, right?
About the report to the listener.
Yeah, I was. I was talking about the report to the listener, but
you
I went out
mixed
of turn.
It both up.
The LSB report to the listeners. That was should have been number six, and I skipped. Number four is the LSB town hall meeting on the air, and promoted a week and a half before, because we had a manager who reported he would do a PSA for the town hall meeting like one day before. That's not enough promotion, and people don't know when these things come out, so it needs to be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so number four was actually the LSB town hall meeting, a two-hour meeting, or if it's only one. I don't see how you do a town hall meeting in less than 2 hours, and it should be on a Saturday. That's the best time, when not on Sunday when they go to church, but Saturday, like 1 p.m. Pacific time and 3 p.m. Central time and 4 p.m. Eastern time, and equal time for callers, and that's. We need to connect with our community more than what we've done in the past, and then we won't have these horrible lack of knowledge and this referendum that just happened, 102,000 of our money. And a lot of those people who voted yes, I'm worried about them. You know, they must still be thinking yes was the right thing, you know. We should do away with the LSBs, and they don't know. I can't believe that they know all the points. So, I mean, we need some connection with our community more than we've been doing. And I know the KPFK is not doing LSB reports, right? I have not heard any, and I don't hear any LSB reports from KPFA. The only one that was doing is WPFW. That's a everyday show from... It's a three-hour show from 11 to 2, and Ron Pinchback does call-ins from the community. Community Watch, it's called. KPFT, we have not done in 3 years, an LSB report on the air.
All right, so other people have comments about this issue? Anybody else?
Well, I like the idea of the town hall, but I see it out in the community. Doing more outreach into the various communities that we serve.
Right.
During the
anybody else want to comment on this? Anybody?
This is Michelle.
Go on, Michelle.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Just to make, the point that promotion of events is something that social media is really excellent, it's an excellent use of social media and a way to connect new people to the stations and have them become listenership is to invite them to interesting events and to meet, sort of notable progressive communities and things like that. So there's two ways to think about those events. One is, opening up our operations to our listenership and giving them information and hearing their voices, but also events can and should be used to invite new people in via, interesting fact about the event. Like, at KPFK, we often provide a free buffet lunch. Obviously, this is pre-COVID, but, offer prizes and interesting activities around, before and after. Those kinds of things bring in new people who are looking for new ways to connect to different parts of their communities. And so just thinking outside the box on those kinds of things, I think is important.
Anybody else want to talk to this question? Anybody?